Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening later on recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone. On this Sabbath, November 23rd, 2024, this is our part 4 of our chapter 82 entitled, Why Weepest Thou, of our lesson 422. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with the Tiny Tot theme hymn entitled, I'd Rather Have Jesus, in the hymn book 327.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. We are going to ask the little ones, by the help of their parents or elder sibling, to open their section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please be sick for Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall everybody all their way. And some days to separate the Lord. Thank you for the people who are sick and not sick. One people who are sick and going back on the Sabbath, us on the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's story times, little ones. And we are going to start with our part two of our chapter 22 entitled Condemned by Pilate in the story about Jesus. And our dear brother will be the one to share.
The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 27 and Luke 23. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "What will ye that I, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." My, my, that picture of Barabbas looks pretty bad there. Pilate saw that something must be done. It was customary at the feast of the Passover to set at liberty one prisoner, bad custom, whom the people might choose. The Roman soldiers had recently captured a noted robber named Barabbas. He was a degraded ruffian and a murderer. So Pilate turned to the crowd and said with great earnestness, "Who will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" Matthew 27:17. They reply, "Away with this man. Release unto us Barabbas." Now, why would the people say that? Because their church leaders said it first, and they were repeating everything their church leaders said. Pilate was dumb with surprise and disappointment. By yielding his own judgment and appealing to the people, he had lost his dignity and the control of the crowd. You see, when Jesus first came up and on trial and Pilate says, "I find no fault in him," he should have turned him loose, see? I mean, Christ had to go to the cross. He had to die for us, but Pilate sealed his own fate right there. He could have done otherwise. After that, he was only a tool of the mob. They swayed him like at their will. He then asked, "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" With one accord, they cried, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Pilate's cheek paled. As he heard the terrible cry, "Let him be crucified." He was used to crucifying criminals, but he saw this man not as a criminal, and it kind of frightened him. He had not thought it would come to that. He had repeatedly pronounced Jesus innocent, and yet the people were determined that he should suffer the most terrible and dreaded death. Again, he asked the question, "Why? What evil hath he done?" This is taken from the story of Jesus, pages 134 and 135.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we'll be reviewing the first part of the part two of our lesson entitled Condemned by Pilate in our tiny thought lesson book, The Story of Jesus, and that will take place November the 30th by God's grace. Well, dear ones, this is the time that we are going to have the parents, our guests, the children to learn precious lesson from creation. We are still in our topic, Moments of the Bible, and we are going to share it with our dear brother.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning mammals of the Bible. So we're doing our Bible verses from our lesson and our topic, Mammals of the Bible, taken from Matthew chapter 7, continuing in FBL year two, quarter four, lesson four, a sermon. Verses 26 to 27 says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." We'll be learning from the last lesson from the section Beasts of Chase, and the last one is section six, Life of a Deer. And the memory verse for the whole lesson is 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And the character quality of the whole story is self-control versus self-indulgence. Self-control is control of one's emotions, desires, or actions by one's own will, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. In nature, life of a deer. Deer have no homes, dens, or nesting places. They spend their life roaming in an area called a home range. There they look for food. Male deer will claim an area on the home range to attract a mate, and they will defend these areas. Some deer live alone. Others live together in herds. This reminds us how people sometimes live alone or with family or friends. Wherever a person lives, he needs a home with a solid foundation. What other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 3:11. Deer move to new locations when the seasons change. Deer living in the mountains move to lower, warmer areas for the winter. They live near the edge of the woods. There, trees and grass are available for food, and bushes make a nice place to sleep. The forest provides places from enemies or a place to give birth to young. A man who was coming back down a mountain he had climbed saw a whole herd of deer, about 20 in all, lying among the pine trees on a little shelf. From this forest shelf, the deer could see all the mountainside below, above, and around. One large buck was not lying down with the rest. He was on guard duty. He was watching for enemies, turning his head from side to side. His sense of ears caught every sound. The rising smells from the valley below were constantly tested by his nostril. After some time had passed, the guard deer lay down to rest. Immediately, another one arose to take his place. After observing this process for some time, the man proceeded came out of hiding. Instantly, the guard deer gave one short, sharp whistle like snow. Every deer quickly arose and looked in the direction that the guard deer was facing. For a moment, the man stopped. The deer were intently looking at him, but when he began to move again, they all scattered into the forest. It was beautiful to see how the Lord has given the deer instincts to help one another, let the members of the family assist one another. A female deer carries her young inside of her for about 6 to 9 months, depending on the kind of deer. She finds a hidden place away from the others of her kind to give birth. The mother deer is protective of her newborn. Jeremiah, however, tells us about a drought that was so terrible that even the hind calved in the field and forsook it, the newborn calf, because there was no grass. Jeremiah 14:5. This must have been quite an awful situation because deer do not naturally deserve young. The young will stay hidden for about 4 to 5 weeks, or until they can walk well enough to keep up with mother. God gave fawns special protection against their enemies in their helpless condition. The first thing the doe does for her fawn is to bathe it with her tongue. Then the fawn has no odor that would give away where it is hidden. An enemy predator could pass right next to it, and if the newborn was still, the predator would not know it was there. The hundreds of white spots fawns have are for protection too, and help them to blend in with the ground where the sunlight filters through the leaves. The doe comes back 6 or 7 times a day to feed the fawn. She does not stray by all the time, and because her own son would endanger the fawn by attracting enemies. The doe must teach her young one the lesson of obedience and self-control right away. So whenever the fawn gets the desire to wander, the doe firmly pushes it back down with her muzzle. If the fawn needs firmer discipline than that, then the mother deer would raise her forefoot, place it on the fawn's back, and forcefully press it to the ground. Has mother ever put her foot down, told you you cannot go somewhere or even do something? And even if that happens, try to remember that she loves you and she is trying to protect you from dangers you are unaware of, like a loving hind would do for her fawn. Newborn moose follow their mothers when about 10 days old, while caribou calves can walk with their mother several hours after birth. Most caribou calves are born during the spring migration. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, Psalm 29. Most deer have only one baby at a time. Sometimes twins are born. However, the Chinese water deer, which lives along the Yangtze River in China, has 4 to 7 fawns at one time. God asked Job, do you observe the calving of the hinds? Can you number the months that they fulfill? And do you know the time when they bring forth, when they crouch, bring forth their offspring, are delivered of their young? Their young ones become strong. They grow up in the open. They go forth and do not return to them. Job 39:1-4. As we have learned, deer eat plants and plant parts. In spring, there is usually an abundance of grasses, flowers, buds, and young leaves. Once the grass dries up, the deer eat twigs, stems, and mature leaves. In winter, deer will band together and trample the foot with their hoofs in search of twigs and small tree branches. When food becomes very hard to get, deer will eat bark and the hard parts of the trees. All mammals have to eat to live. God also made man so he would need food. Each meal can be a time to practice self-control as we build the house called character on the rock, Jesus Christ. Deer have a stomach with 4 parts or chambers. They do not chew their food well before swallowing. So one chamber becomes a storage place so they can eat a lot of food quickly. Then deer will not need to spend a long period of time and out in the open places where enemies are hunting their prey. After the deer finds a safe place to rest, the stored food comes back up to the mouth in a ball-like shape. The deer chews this, which is called a cud. Then it is swallowed and goes to the other stomach to be digested. Since we are made in God's image, we must do all we can to cooperate with God in building healthy bodies, or temple house, for God's dwelling place. People need to practice self-control as they chew their food thoroughly. Cud chewing can also remind us of meditating on God's word. It should not be hastily read, but we should go over a passage until we see the that God has for us in it. Then we should act on it, because everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Matthew 7:26. Deer use their keen senses to avoid enemies. They can usually outrun predators like bears, cougars, or wolves. But one main way it escapes danger is to avoid being seen. A deer will stand perfectly still while an enemy passes. White-tailed deer and mule deer usually eat only at dawn or at dusk at the edge of the woods where they blend best with the area. Many times during a storm trial, like a deer, we need to stand perfectly still and wait on the Lord as to what we should do. If self makes a quick move, it could be dangerous for our spiritual life, as a deer could lose its life if not cautious. Self-control needs to be practiced in our lives. Though it says above in this picture, the deer pointing its tail. The white-tailed deer tells deal is like a flag of warning. What counsel does Isaiah 59:19 give to us? Well, we'll see the answer for in just a second. White-tailed deer show concern for the safety of us by signaling them when there is danger by lifting their tails. This reminds us of how we may be warned of God, of things not seen as yet. Hebrews 11:7. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard or flag against Isaiah 59:19. Wild deer live only from 10 to 20 years. And here in this rectangle said is hind. The word hind or hinds translates a doe or female deer. And below said is his glory, which is supposed to be a short poem. The voice of the Lord makes the deer twist and labor. The high standing forest of trees his strips bare. And of all the length and the breadth of his temple and all things within its glory declare. And let's share our nature walk experience, dear ones. Let's use our listen ears, little ones. Here we have a picture of an evergreen tree. Some sort of spruce, to be precise. One moment. Next, continue with pictures of changing leaves during their autumn season. On our left is a birch tree, next to another pine tree, and on our right is a hickory tree.
Sorry, they get spawned.
Continuing with the Sussler's wild herb side pictures experience. In both these pictures, we see leaves. These come from this flower, which is called a cat's ear. Your scientific name is Hypocarus radicata. And the family it's from is from the family Asteraceae. This flower also goes by another name. It's called the false dandelion because it resembles a dandelion, although it's not the flower itself. Next, we have a picture of a white flower called the caraway. Their scientific name is Carum carvi from the family Aplaceae. And its flower. And next to that is some leaves from a plant we not know of. Eldorab, do you know which leaves use of a plant of the picture on the right is supposed to be of? Oh, okay, I see. It's called a sallow plant. It's good to know. Okay. In continuing. Oh. Next, we have our dear sister Grace will be sharing her skylight signings. All right, we see a picture above this freeway is a rainbow bow in the sky, and on the right in the night the time most notably during the sunset is a picture of a crescent moon. Sister Grace, would you like to share your experience from these two pictures?
Yes. Sorry about that. Sabbath blessing to everyone. So the picture where the rainbow is, it was the day after the results of the election. That morning, for some reason, it was very quiet, like very, I don't know, in the air, everything was just quiet. And I decided as I was going to work, or I was not going to listen to any news or anything. I was just going to try to not hear anything that would disturb my spirit during that day. And so I was driving as soon as I about to get on the freeway, I just looked up and there was this rainbow shooting out from in that direction is the direction of the lake. So for me, it was shooting right out from the lake. And I thank God in that moment. I said, Lord, whatever it is, I see that you are giving me the comfort to know that you are here and you will take care of everything, and just giving me an assurance. So I continued my whole day like that, and I did not listen to anything until one moment in class, a student delivered the message, and then, it was interesting, but by then I was comforted and I was strengthened by what I had seen that morning, by way of the, rainbow. And so this other picture, I was trying to get the crescent moon, but I think there was a competition between the sunset and the crescent moon. I did not even notice, but as we can see, you know, the sunset was really kind of taking over because the crescent, I was supposed to enlarge it a little bit, and I somehow didn't. But there's a crescent moon right there below where it says a picture of the crescent moon. It's a crescent moon. It was so bright. It looked like a piece of silver that someone hung in the sky. So yeah. I continue, I guess. So these were, okay, I can't remember that there was sun or moons. I think, yeah, moons. Okay. So yes, one of these, the one where it says silver moon, I just looked up. I was waiting in a line, and I looked up, and there was this, all these dark looking clouds, and they were going in and out, and the moon was peeking in and out, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm gonna try and get a shot of this, and sure enough, I did. It was much more beautiful and airy, ominous looking. It was a gray day, and here everything was kind of matching the mood of the day. And on this other side is a super moon, and it's actually taken from San Antonio, Texas, and my son visited, and when he landed there, he said there was this huge, beautiful, perfect ball. He described it like somebody just put it there, and he said, I think Mom would enjoy this, and he took it when they landed. And they're calling it the super moon, and I heard other description of it. So if you know the description, other description that they give to this moon, the way how it looks, you could share with us. So yeah.
Now we're sharing an amazing image of a tarantula nebula and the Hidden Galaxy magnified. All these were taken from a homepage covering from my mother's computer, and the view looked so amazing. We just had to share it. In the first picture, we see the outside of the Tarantula Nebula. And in the center, we see the North Star that you usually see around the sky, especially on a very dark night. In the middle one, we get a magnified look of the galaxy that's supposed to be in the inside of it. And on the picture on the right, you see more, even more intense in picture, where we can see right through the nebula, right past it, is where the galaxy is located.
I would like to share how this picture came about. The day that I was supposed to take over two Sabbaths, I was in thought, and I said, Lord, I don't know which one of the study that I can be able to choose. So as I finished praying, I turned on my computer, and I saw this beautiful picture of that particular section of the screen. So I wanted to go in to find out what it was. But the thing is that made it so beautiful, if you notice, it looked like something actually opened the area. And you're not only going to see that huge star, but right next to it is like a cluster of stars, look like a little galaxy. And when I went in deeper to find out what it was, that is the name of it, Tarantula Nebula. And in a review, we are going to learn a little bit more about it. When I really saw what they did with the hover, which they're supposed to be, those telescope, they actually zoom in the very center of that section of the galaxy. And when it was magnified, the bottom one on the left side is what they saw. I have it in the next review. A little bit larger so you'll be able to enjoy the wonders of the Creator. I just wanted to share that. And remember, little ones, then to be the King of a vast domain, oh, be hell in sin-dress way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. We want to welcome all the precious family that was coming in. Our opening song is a hymn to a theme entitled He Lives. You can also find it in the hymn book, number 251. If you would like to join us to share the hymn, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hands of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lived today. He walks with me and talks with me along that narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Dear brother, would you like to share?
In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the joy of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. We are going to ask any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddy, so even our guests, to open our family meeting with prayer. Maybe unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking up this morning. Please protect us. Please protect people that take. That's not here. I didn't come back to the Sabbath. Please protect the way that we're going to be learning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Our opening scripture to our study today is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 20, from the King James Version, and it reads, "And how the chief priests and our rulers deliver him to be condemned to death and have crucified him." This Sabbath, boys and girls, we will continue with our part 4 of our lesson entitled, "Why Weepest Thou?" in our study book, The Desired Ages. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the following verses, may you unmute your mic.
But we, Luke 24:21, James Version, "But we trust that he trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Luke 28:31. Sorry, dear ones, King James Version. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?"
John 20:13, King James Version, "And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest you, thou. She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have led him.
Laid him.
John 20, verse 15, King James Version. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away.
Amen.
Amen. Good job, little ones. Today we will cover page 794. Welcome to all of the dear ones that are joining us. We are in the Desire of Ages, page 794. Who would like to read the first paragraph here? Continuing.
Continuing. Desire of Ages, pages 794. Often they repeated the words, we trusted that it had been he which should redeem Israel. Lonely and sick at heart, they remembered his words, if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Luke chapter 24, verse 21. And chapter 23, verse 31. They met together in the upper chamber and closed and fastened the doors, knowing that the fate of their beloved teacher might at any time be theirs. Desire of Ages, pages 793-94, paragraph, is that? Can't see the bottom though.
Amen. That was paragraph three. Thank you so much, dear one. Let's learn our first beautiful scripture song together. This one is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 112, verse 4, with margin, taken from our study book, The Desire of All Ages, volume 1, memory CD. We are still in the Desire Ages, but this is paragraph 4. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? Will you unmute your mic?
Reading from page 794. And all the time they might have been rejoicing in the knowledge of a risen Savior. In the garden, Mary had stood weeping when Jesus was close beside her. Her eyes were so blinded by tears that she did not discern him. And the hearts of the disciples were so full of grief that they did not believe the angel's message or the words of Christ himself. Desire of Ages, page 794, paragraph 4.
Amen. So we are going to learn another scripture song together, but this one is in the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 29, verses 13 through 14. also margin, but it's taken from Scripture Singer Song in section Promises of the Memory Verse CD. Amen. Praise the Lord. My computer want to go faster. Dear ones, who would like to take the next paragraph? May you let me join.
How many are still doing what these disciples did? How many echo Mary's despairing cry? They have taken away the Lord, and we know not where they have laid him. To how many might the Savior's word to be spoken? Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? He is close beside them, but their tear-blinded eyes do not discern him. He speaks to them, but they do not understand. The Desire of Ages, page 794, paragraph 5.
We will be sharing another scripture song in the same book of Jeremiah, but this is in chapter 15, verse 16. Margin, but in this section, the living word of our memory verse CD, Scripture Singer Songs. We are still in the desired ages. Who would like to take the following paragraph? You want to make your mute your mic to do so.
The desired ages, page 794. Oh, that the bowed head might be lifted, that the eyes might be opened to behold him, that the ears might listen to his voice. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. Bid them look not to Joseph's new tomb that was closed with a great stone and sealed with a Roman seal. Christ is not there. Look not to the empty sepulcher. Next slide, please. Mourn not as those who are hopeless and helpless. Jesus lives, and because he lives, we shall live also. From grateful hearts, from lips touched with holy fire, let the glad song ring out. Christ is risen. He lives to make intercession for us. Grasp this hope, and it will hold the soul like a sure tried anchor. Believe, and thou shalt see the glory of God. The Desire of Ages, page 794, paragraph 6.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. So let's learn our last beautiful scripture song, and this one is also taken in the book of Psalms, but this is chapter 145, verses 14 18 and 19 margin. Also in scripture song singers, but in the section promises of the memory verse CD. Well, dear ones, we have come to the ending of part four of our study, and we are going to retain our answer to all the questions that we have in our review section. That will be next week, by God's grace. We will be reviewing part four of our chapter, Why Weepest Thou? If you have any question, either for this part or any other that may need research, dear ones, you can be able to send it beforehand. Thursday is the deadline. Otherwise, you can hold them until we meet again by God's grace. If anyone of the dear remnant family or anyone of the little ones would like to close our family study with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
May we bow our heads and our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for once more gathering us, Father, so that we can worship you and praise your name. We thank you for all the lessons that you have given us this morning. We thank you for the little ones, Father Jesus. Thank you for their reading. Thank you for their participation. Thank you for their parents as well. Bless us as we continue now until the next sections of the studies. May you continue to shine your rays of light for us, so that we can find your blessings, Father. Help us to gather every inch of these lights for today. Be with the ones that are not feeling well today, Father Jesus. I pray for your healing hand upon them, and I pray that you restore them to health. Thank you, Lord, again. Be with the speaker. Put your words in her mouth and help us to impart to us, Father Jesus. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, it will be November the 30th, 2024. We are going to have our review of our chapter 82 entitled, Why Weepest Thou? Of our lesson 422. Leaving the scripture and also a quote from our lesson book, but this is in page 307, paragraph 1. And it reads from the scripture, Matthew 5, 14 to 15 from the King James, and it reads, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is hid on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house." And from our quote, true character is not shaped from without and put on. It radiates from within. If we wish to direct others in the path of righteousness, the principle of righteousness must be enshrined in our own hearts. Our profession of faith may proclaim the theory of religion, but it is our practical piety that holds forth the word of truth. The consistent life, the holy conversation, the unwavering integrity and the active benevolent spirit, and godly example. These are the mediums through which light is conveyed to the world. And that, again, is from the Desire Ages, page 307, paragraph 1. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones.